Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Voice of Change, Raising Our Children, Our Future. I am Sharon Ann Wyckoff, host of the program. The Voice of Change welcomes today Karen Melton, prenatal and perinatal therapist, in a conversation about birthing and its impact on relationship with self and family. The Voice of Change is a weekly program focusing on nurturing the physical, emotional, social, mental, and spiritual development of today's children, as well as supporting the teachers and parents of these children. Featured guests will be those who are involved with children, nurturing them, allowing their unique spirit to soar. At times, our guests will share their thoughts, ideas, and insights about their personal journey as a teacher of these children. These truly are changing times, and these times are asking us to live in greater harmony with ourselves, our children, as well as with the planet. And although there is much chaos taking place on the planet and in the lives of many, the potential for goodness, for healing, and wholeness has never been greater. Today's children truly are unique. Many are perceptive, intuitive, and wise beyond their years. We all are teachers and students. And yes, sometimes our children can be our greatest teachers. And this certainly is a time to be open to new ideas, healing ways, and change. Karen Melton brings with her a wealth of information. She has a prenatal and birth therapy practice in Northern California, focusing on the prevention and healing of prenatal birth and bonding trauma with babies, adults, kids, and parents. She is a mature, experienced practitioner offering gentle, somatic, and regulatory healing work. Karen's initial and most important training in prenatal and perinatal psychology and health was in the womb. There she learned about how profoundly and deeply our lives are affected by our journey into life, from conception onward. She trained extensively with Dr. William Emerson and Dr. Ray Castellino when she moved to California from England 13 years ago. And prior to that, she practiced as a counselor and therapist in England for over 15 years. Karen and I have been doing radio for a number of years, and she has many programs on the Blog Talk site, and they are just most popular. Welcome, Karen.
Hello, Sharon.
Oh, so delightful to have you back.
Thank you. It's always good to be here.
Well, we certainly have a wonderful topic today.
Yes.
One that is so deep in so many ways. And
I know, we pick these deep subjects and
we
then we have an hour to talk about them.
Oh, we do, we
yeah.
do. But at least, you know, I think it opens up the conversation for people and perhaps just gives them, a little insight into the possibilities of what, the early years of our life on the planet and also in the womb, how they affect us.
Absolutely, and also, I mean, probably it would be great before the end of the program if I just gave out a couple of websites if people want to pursue these ideas a little bit more deeply that they can
certainly
do that. Yeah,
certainly, and we want to give out your website too because it has such a wealth of information on it.
Yes, thank you.
So, you know, we're talking about the birth and how it affects our relationships with self and family.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if you can speak a little bit about, you know, what you think or how you think birth affects a woman and how a mother feels about herself afterwards, and then how this affects the relationship with her baby.
Yeah, well, basically, I think that a really positive birthing experience, which will actually foster a very strong oxytocin response in the mum, which is actually the love hormone, and there's a response that creates really good bonding possibilities after birth, is a first place to think about you know, in terms of what can be positive and nurturing relationship in birth.
Yeah.
Because a confident mum who feels really good about herself and about her abilities is an empowered mum and an empowered woman. And that's, I think, a really important piece that's all too often missing in birthing these days, certainly in the Western world. But if she does have a really positive and empowering birthing experience, she stands a much higher chance of having a good initial connection with herself and with her baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you feel really good about yourself and you feel confident, you naturally want to connect and you want to be seen.
Yeah.
And we all need to feel validated for who we are and for our abilities and our strengths, but especially during very important times like birthing. Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
And yet here, you know, in the States, we've talked about so many different things that take place during a birth.
Yeah.
And you know, although sometimes they seem normal because we haven't known anything different, they can be an obstacle to that wonderful bonding that we're talking about.
Yes, they can be. The thing is that in the United States, normal birth means medicalized birth.
Yes.
But yet when I say normal birth, I don't mean medicalized birth. I mean, a birthing situation where the woman is in charge of her birthing.
Yes.
That is child and baby centered, that is not full of drugs and intervention.
Yes.
And has lots of support for the woman and validation.
Mm-hmm.
And all the good
mm-hmm.
things that a birthing woman needs to be successful,
right.
And feel really good about what she's done afterwards.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And yet that really is such a different scenario than in many birthing situations, because the interventions are just so common.
It is really, yes, they are just considered normal almost, which is one of the dangerous things about them, I think. But birthing does have direct consequences for a woman's self-esteem and for her sense of herself as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's obvious that her confidence in herself would be greatly enhanced by a positive and empowering birthing experience.
Yes, yes.
And to me, that means that she and baby need to be in the center of the birthing. They need to be encouraged and supported in every way to discover what's needed as their very unique birth dance unfolds together.
Yes.
And that a birthing woman must be trusted totally. And she must be able to trust her body, that she knows, that she can trust her instincts and her own body to know what they need to do.
Right.
And that in that environment that she's never undermined,
mm-hmm.
but she's always validated.
Yes. And that she sees the way.
Yes. She's the one who's in charge of her birth. And
yes.
She and her baby are the ones giving birth, not the
mm-hmm.
doctor. The doctors mm-hmm. think they're delivering babies, but it's actually the mum that's delivering the baby.
Yes, yes.
And it's actually the baby that's delivering itself, too.
That's so true, so
you know.
True.
Yeah.
You know, I really thought that I was really understood the process of birth. I've had three wonderful children, and yet meeting you and having conversations with you, I certainly see it as a whole new level, because I did have the hospital birth.
Mm-hmm.
And although they were positive experiences for the most part, it's totally different than what you're talking about. So I'm just, so, so grateful that we can have these conversations to let wonderful people out there know that there can be a birth that is different than the hospitalized one, where the mom really leads the way. I was thinking about this, you know, that takes a lot of pre-work before the birthing experience to set that up.
It may do, yes, because we've been raised in this culture to believe that we can't do it and that we need a doctor to get our babies out, and actually that isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
So some people may need to do a little bit of work to get to that place in themselves and strengthen that place in themselves, which is a place of trusting that they can do it, trusting that their body knows how to do it, that your body knows exactly what to do, and that your instincts are right, and if you just listen to them. And I believe that pregnant and birthing women really need to have those places totally supported, and also that women need to trust that their babies know what to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as babies, we know how to get out.
Yes.
You know, we all have this blueprint in us that means we know how to get born.
Right. Right.
So it's not
and
something
that
the mum's doing in isolation. It's a relationship.
Mhm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
so I
have
think
a
that
team.
Yeah. And I think so. I think a mom and baby centered birthing situation produces a mom and a baby who can feel really great
mm-hmm.
pleasure and self esteem that they did it.
Yeah.
And they did it together.
Yes.
And this is very important to their relationship to feel that.
Mm.
Yeah.
So beautiful. So how does prenatal bonding affect birthing outcomes? Because there is that relationship before birth.
Yes, that's true. And what happens in the womb does really affect our experience of getting born.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I say about that? You know, if a mom has actually, if she's bonded with her baby in the womb, she can experience birthing as a continuation of this relationship between her and her baby. And there will be that feeling that they're doing it together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really great for both for the birthing experience and for bonding and attachment after birth.
Mm.
So prenatal bonding is a really good practice for pregnant couples throughout gestation, just to really regularly connect with the baby in the womb. And then birthing will just be a continuation of that relationship that's already been established.
Yes, that makes such sense. Such sense. What types of things have you seen mothers and fathers do to connect? Perhaps just talking to the baby? What ideas do you have along that line?
Just taking some time to, maybe just even physically just putting your hands on baby,
mm-hmm.
putting your ear next to baby, the baby's tummy, and listening, talking to baby, soothing baby, telling baby what's going on. And, especially if there's something stressful happening, there's something happening right now and it's okay. There's nothing you have to do about it. Playing
music. That's such
a
beautiful idea.
Yeah. It's, playing music to baby. Babies love music.
Mm-hmm.
They particularly like Baroque music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, reading them stories, whatever comes to you as a way of connecting with baby, feels like the way for you to do it.
Yes.
Taking time out to really do that with baby and have that that gentle connecting space with baby is really great for everybody.
Yeah. It just makes such sense. And, in the birthing experience, there's usually no conversation with the baby. It's just mom, doing her thing. And yet, as you say, when that connection is developed, in utero, then it seems so natural to continue that during birth and just tell the little one, you're soon going to be here, everything's okay.
Yeah.
And just, create a soothing environment.
Exactly. And if there is an intervention that's really needed, you can tell baby about what's happening and what it's going to feel like and that kind of thing. And, babies really don't like to feel disconnected from their mum during birthing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately, one of the side effects of drugs given in labor is that they can make a baby feel like she's lost her mum.
Ah.
Yeah, because the connection is, if you think about it, the connection is going to be affected by the drugs.
Of course.
For example, if you think about an epidural, when the mum can't even feel her own body, she can't even feel her baby.
Right.
So the connection is gone. It could still be there on an energetic level, but it's very difficult to feel the presence in your body.
Yes.
So I think it's very, and all these different drugs have different effects.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's very important to think carefully and seriously about how these procedures are affecting our babies and
yes.
how they're affecting bonding, not just after birth, but during birth as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because bonding isn't something that just happens suddenly after 9 months when the baby's on the outside.
Yeah.
It's really a process that begins at conception or even before.
So beautiful. And to realize that, you know, that little one within the mom is aware on levels that we don't understand.
Yeah.
There's that awareness there. That's so
beautiful.
They're
very aware, yeah.
Yes.
Very
yes.
affected by everything.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways more so than we are as adults because they don't have the kind of defenses that we have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I always remember William Emerson saying that if a mom's stressed out about something, it could actually be traumatizing for the baby. In other words, it could be further along the scale towards more stressful and more, or even traumatic for the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Than it is for the mom.
Right.
Because we're so vulnerable as prenates.
Certainly. I just love what you say that, you know, you can tell your little one that, you know, this is going on or that's going on and it's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect you. You know, you haven't done anything. Just to let them know that, you know, that they're not the cause of it and they're okay.
Yeah, that's really important. It's not about you and there's nothing you have to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
really a great thing to say.
Mm.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about bonding and attachment? What's the difference between them?
Well, I think of it as bonding is what the mum does towards the baby. She bonds
mm-hmm.
with him. And attachment is what the baby does towards the mum. She attaches. And there are, I can just run through some like the simple categories that are sort of pretty commonly known of attachment, the types of attachment that there are.
Sure, yeah.
yeah.
And this is when the baby is attaching toward the mom, and so there's different
yeah.
types of that. Okay, sure.
Yes. And so the first one, and which is the one that we all really want, the category we all really want to be in,
mm-hmm.
is secure attachment. And these people who have a secure attachment think that love is enduring because they've had an experience of it being so. And these people would have high self-esteem and they would enjoy intimate relationships,
mm-hmm.
social support, and they would have an ability to share feelings with other people also.
Mm. The perfect way for it to be.
Yeah, that's really what we'd all want to have.
Yes.
And that's a child, a baby that's not had, you know, any too traumatic interruptions or separations, whose mum's been really present for them and
mm-hmm.
Has been really loved and held and
yes.
secure. And then the next one is ambivalent attachments. That's an ambivalent, insecure attachment. And these people often feel reluctant about becoming close to others. And they worry that their partner doesn't reciprocate their feelings. They can have frequent breakups of relationships, often because the relationship feels cold and distant. And they can get especially distraught after the end of a relationship. And sometimes ambivalently attached adults can really cling to young children as a source of security.
Mm.
As well,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And then avoidant insecure attachment. They would tend to believe that love is rare and temporary. And these children almost even avoid parents and caregivers. They might not reject attention from a parent, but they may not seek it out either.
Mm-hmm.
This is a child that's really learned that they can't rely on the caregiver to be there. So
that would be so hard.
Developed an avoidant attachment style.
Mm-hmm.
So these children will show, babies will show no preference between a parent and a complete stranger.
Mm.
Yeah, and they will probably have difficulty with intimacy and close relationships.
Mm-hmm.
They don't invest much emotion in relationships, and they don't really have a lot of distress when a relationship ends. So they're almost in a sense, you get a sense of them just being absent in a way.
Yes.
You know, they haven't really been able to attach, so they can't really be present. It's
mm-hmm.
through attachment that we can be present in relationship and really know who we are. And when we don't have that, when we don't have that secure attachment, it's like we don't really know who we are.
Yes.
We can't really be here.
Is there any particular, I'm just wondering, as you speak of these, the ambivalent insecure and then the avoidant insecure, are there any particular characteristics that or traumas that take place to lead to either one of these, or is that a whole other radio program?
Well, it probably is.
Probably
is training or something. But yes, there are lots of things that happen to us, especially on the way here in our journey into life, from conception all the way through to after birth, that contribute to these attachment styles. And I know we're trying to focus more on birth and relationships today, but obviously, a lot's happened before we get born. We've been here for 9 months already, and we've picked up a lot of information about what relationships are already from our parents and their relationship, right from conception. And we've also had our own experiences in the womb. And for example, I know for myself that my mother actually didn't want me, and so that kind of produced a very ambivalent state in me about actually being here and about attaching. Because if you think about having to attach to a mother that doesn't want you, nobody really wants to attach to somebody that doesn't want them. But if you want to stay alive, you have to attach.
True.
So it's a very ambivalent attachment.
Definitely.
Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely so.
Yeah, so that's
definitely
just an example.
That would be such a difficult situation. And here is just a little prenate having to, to deal with all that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm.
Right.
Yes,
and so,
go ahead.
Well, just say that these our attachment styles are actually laid down much earlier than most people think in the womb, in fact.
Yes.
And they are the foundation for our relationships.
Yes.
And then the way that we attach after birth is affected by our prenatal life as well as by our birth experience.
Yes.
But at the same time, that doesn't mean that an insecure attached child can't grow up and learn to become a secure attached person.
Mm-hmm.
They're an adult. It's not like you're totally stuck in that place. You can, through the right relationships or maybe through therapy or whatever way you do it, you can move to that place.
Right, certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly. But it's just an amazing idea. It's not new to me now, but it certainly was a few years back, that these prenates are so aware. I mean, that is just such a huge awareness. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all realized that they are aware?
Yes.
Mm.
It really would.
It really would.
It would make such a big difference. I don't have any doubts about it because I've experienced my own journey, here, and I know that it all made... It all had a huge effect on me.
Yeah.
And, attachment is, it's funny because when I was in psychotherapy training, they didn't really talk about attachment until after you were born then. And I don't know even now if they're including anything prenatal.
Really? Within the field itself?
They didn't even go back as far as birth. They would talk about, young children, but never going back even to birth or including birth, let alone prenatal. So I always found this extremely odd. Why were they ignoring the whole almost first year of life as if it didn't have any impact on us?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe there's not it hasn't been enough people such as yourself who have experienced it, and I had a somatic experience of not wanting to be born because there was cigarette smoke going on in the house, and I just I had an internal sense of what that was. Maybe not enough people have really spoken up to, you know, let people know that what they have sensed. So you don't know if this is really common practice today, that people are aware that the prenate has an awareness.
Yeah, it's funny. We don't really talk about it much. I don't know what's happened. I don't know why that's happening. But I think one of the things that's interesting about the memories from that time is that they're not like what we might consider more normally to be a memory, where we remember something in our mind and we might see an image or something and that's a memory we can remember. Oh, I was five and I had a red bike and I had a green teddy or something. And these memories from the very early period of our life tend to be are very somatic. They're in our body.
Yes.
And that includes our energy body.
Yes.
And the earlier they are, the more energetic they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're no less powerful for being energetic, I can tell you.
Right. Right. You just know.
Because they're almost more global in the sense that they're part of all of us. And I think we really don't have a way. It's just not generally known that memory can be thought of in that way.
Right.
That when we're experiencing something in our body or we're sensing something in our body, that it could actually be a memory about something, and that if we listen to it, it would give us a lot of information.
Yes, exactly. I know you introduced me to the book by Thomas Verney, The Secret Life of the Unborn Child.
Mm-hmm.
That's just so powerful.
Yeah.
My goodness. Oh, we could talk all day on this. So, Karen, how can we think about increasing positive bonding and attachment in our birthing practices?
I think what I was saying earlier about empowering women and having more baby and mom-centered birthing practices with, and cut out the unnecessary medical interventions would be a really great start.
Oh, a wonderful start, yes.
I mean, just those, that would be huge, and it would make such an enormous difference to what's happening, you know, during birth and connecting and bonding and attachment afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Because healthy birthing really sets mum and baby up to have a really great connection during birth and after. And just to get off to a really positive start with that feeling that they can do it together, you know.
Yeah.
And hospital practices just don't support healthy bonding. In fact, if you look at hospital birthing, they're actually very much undermining babies and birthing women. Just if you look at the fact that that they take the baby away straight away for really unnecessary procedures at that point. That one thing in itself is just so hugely unnecessary and damaging to mums and babies. That's the last thing that, just imagine arriving, you know, and going through all of that in your birth. And then coming out into this, you know, really bright environment with all these complete strangers, masks over their faces, and somebody grabbing you and taking you over and laying you on some cold steel bed. And doing all sorts of things to you and pricking you and cleaning you and wrapping you up. And no wonder they're usually crying when that's happening. And all you want is your mum.
Exactly.
You don't want any of that. You just want to stay connected. You want to stay connected with your mum. And that's the right and proper thing to be happening.
Oh, exactly.
And so, and there's no reason why that couldn't happen. There's no reason why the umbilical cord has to be cut as soon as baby comes out, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There are so many really just silly things happening.
We just have to totally rethink the birth the way we're doing it in the States right now.
Well, you know, hospital birthing is not conducive to good relationships being formed. So they treat babies as though they're not really people. They don't have any consciousness. They don't even feel anything, and they don't need to be with their mom.
Yes. Oh, so contrary.
That's very odd, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. And yet I have to say, you know, I thought I was so aware, and yet, too, I have learned so much having these conversations and these radio programs with you, because even I was really brainwashed about the okayness of hospital births. I had just gotten into it, you know, and it just can be so different when we know different. I just want to take this moment, we're halfway through the program, to let you know you are listening to The Voice of Change, Raising Our Children, Our Future. I'm Sharon Ann Wyckoff, and we have the delight of being with Karen Melton again today. She is a prenatal and perinatal birth therapist. If you want to listen to other of her programs, just go to blogtalkradio.com, and you can type in Karen's name, and other programs will come up that she has been on. We've had several. And if you'd like to call in to ask Karen a question, the number here is 646-929-1995. Again, 646-929-1995. Karen Melton has a wonderful website. And Karen, would you tell us what that is and a little bit about what you have to offer there, and then any other sites you'd like to share?
Well, my website is Heal Your Early Imprints. That's imprints spelled I-M for mother, P-R-I-N-T-S, healyourearlyimprints.com. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of the same interviews that Sharon was talking about are actually available on my homepage on my website.
That's wonderful.
And they're also there on my article blog, too. So you can, and I wanted to just also give people the APA website. APA is short for the Association for Prenatal and Perinatal Psychology and Health.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a really great resource website for anyone who's interested in following up on some of these ideas and reading more about them.
Oh,
they've
that's
got
wonderful.
Quite a few little articles, and then they have a whole journal, and they have all kinds of really fun, interesting stuff on their website.
And that is www.a.
I think the website address is birthpsychology.com.
Okay, birthpsychology.com.
And that's for the APA organization.
Okay, birthpsychology.com.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go on here. Can you tell us more about birthing, of how birthing is affecting babies' ability to attach?
Well, like with mom, I think babies have a much better chance of really connecting and being seen and loved and received and welcomed during and after birth if they've been supported to have, you know, their own birth.
Yes.
With no unnecessary interventions and drugs, because drugged-up babies are unable to connect when they come out. They're just so out of it. When they get there, you know?
Yes.
This is such an important time for bonding and attaching. Mm-hmm. This is when the oxytocin, the love hormone, is at the highest immediately after birth, in a vaginal birth. It's not so present in a C-section.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when we really want to have mums and babies together and not separated and not drugged.
Of course.
If possible. And I wanted to just share a little bit with you about a study that was done by a guy called Dr. Lennart Rigard.
Mm-hmm.
He's made this great little 6-minute video which shows us this very clearly. It's called delivery self-attachment. Delivery self-attachment is when a baby's born, if you just place the baby on the mum's naked abdomen and the baby is, you know, they're skin to skin, which is really what they want after birth.
Yeah.
And you just allow the baby to stay there, naked on the abdomen, then they actually begin to crawl up towards the breast after about 20 minutes, because they have a stepping crawling reflex when they're born, which lasts for several weeks after birth, maybe even longer.
Yeah.
So they can actually crawl up to the breast, and about 20 minutes usually after birth, they will begin to move, and then they're usually at the breast and suckling after about 50 minutes.
So beautiful.
And that's called what he's calling delivery self-attachment.
Yes.
So,
I saw that film, and
you saw that
absolutely amazing to see.
And you know, it shows these little babies bobbing up, you know, towards the breast, and just it's really amazing to see them do it, because it might be hard to imagine that a newborn baby could do that, but they really can.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, basically the results of this, it was a study that he was doing, and he did this little video to show what it was about and the results of it. Babies that were allowed to do that, what I just described, were, as I said, they were up there and suckling after about 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that had uninterrupted contact after birth allowed them to be able to crawl up and locate the nipple really well.
Mm-hmm.
If they had an uninterrupted time, you know, they weren't separated from their mum after birth, but they had been medicated during birth, not all of them were able to crawl to the breast.
Mm.
And some of them who did actually make it there suckled quite poorly.
It should be out for everyone to see.
And it's actually 6 minutes long. It's very short, but it's very simple, very powerful.
Yes.
Babies that were removed for cleaning and measurements, you know, which is quite normal in hospital.
Yes.
And who were medicated, which is also quite normal in hospital birth,
mm-hmm.
had no sense of direction at all. They couldn't get to the breast even when their mum tried to help them. They showed a baby like that on the tape, and it just looks really disoriented, totally dopey and totally out of it, and is trying, but it's just completely unable to do it.
Yes, does not know where to go.
Yeah. And then the ones that are actually separated from and unmedicated, they just, half of them showed poor suckling.
Mm-hmm.
And then babies that were actually separated and medicated, which is normal in hospital birth again, none of them managed to suckle well.
Mm.
And that's kind of shocking when you think that this is the way that most babies are born here in hospitals. That's a staggering amount of babies.
Yes, yes. And everybody is thinking it is normal, except a rare few who have other, you know, who know better.
No.
And even the doctors, I mean, they're supposed to be specialists in this field, and they have no idea what a normal birth would be really look like.
No, they don't even know. Doctors,
they don't know.
No, they haven't. Most obstetricians have never even seen a normal birth.
Yes.
They don't even know what a natural normal birth looks like. That's true.
Yes. Isn't that really unbelievable?
Yeah. And this was a study done by a pediatrician, actually, which is great when you find, you know, you find the odd one that's awake.
Yes.
That's actually thinking, this is interesting. I wonder what's going on here. You know, what am I doing to these babies?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I just wanted to mention that a midwife, Mary Jackson, that I know, and Ray Castellino, who trains people in this work, they've taken Dr. Lennart's study and expanded on it, and they've been using it in home births. And they discovered that during the self-attachment process, which they actually have renamed supported self-attachment, that they noticed that the baby is actually telling the story of its birth during its journey towards the breast.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I think that's
amazing.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Because what that tells us then is that, in a way, you could actually see that as the final stage of birth, that when the baby comes out, that there's actually an integration phase after the birth where baby comes and gets a chance to say, well, I was like this, and I went round this way, and then I went that way, and I got my head stuck, and, you know, all the twists and turns and things that a baby goes through to find their way through the birth canal. And I just think that's so true, if you think about it, that when we all go through a huge experience, and I mean, being born is the epic one.
Oh,
we all need to be heard afterwards. We need to be
definitely.
Able to express the experience. We need to talk about it and communicate it in some way so that we can actually digest it all with some, hopefully with some help and support and contact.
Yes. Yes.
And connection. And then when we've done that, we can actually feel more settled in ourselves, in our nervous system.
Of course.
And it's from that place that we're much more available for connection and contact.
This just makes such sense. And instead of allowing that time for the baby to crawl up to the breast, you know, the baby is handled, is taken places, is manipulated, and it's all for the outside world, not for what the baby is needing.
No.
This just makes such sense, Karen. Just such
it, yeah.
sense.
It really yeah. does, doesn't it?
It does.
See,
it
yeah.
does.
Really, and when you're so looking at that work, you have to see, you know, well, what can we learn from this? And what
yes.
we can learn is that we have to slow down. We have to
yes.
stop separating mums and babies at birth. We have to turn the lights down and put the baby skin to skin with mum and tune
yes.
in and listen.
Yes.
And let them tell us all about it. Hang out.
Right.
Feel the wonder, you know, let the oxytocin yes. flow and support the little ones to attach.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Because in most births, you know, allowing the little new one to crawl for 15 minutes and then attach, that would not happen.
No.
That just would not happen. So a beautiful reminder as we talk about this that, you know, we can do things so differently and so much more in honoring that new
yeah.
little one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I personally think it would be great if we just had birthing centers everywhere.
Yes.
It wouldn't be wonderful if every little community had its own birthing center and it was just
yes.
part of the community and you could
beautiful.
Go there when you needed to talk about women's things and about having babies. And,
oh, that
you know,
would be wonderful.
I think they have that in Japan. That used to be very much how it was there before they all got destroyed at some point.
Mm.
I love that idea.
Oh, I do too. I
yeah.
really do. Very important to have that time to be with other people with same interests.
I know, and I just think that people have become, for some reason, we've become very frightened of having babies at home because the obstetrics profession has made everybody believe that it's safer to have a baby in hospital.
Yes.
And actually, that isn't really true. It actually isn't true at all. It isn't safer to have a baby in hospital. It's far more hazardous for lots of
yes.
reasons. And there's no reason why a healthy, pregnant, normal pregnancy couldn't happen at home. But
mm-hmm.
I think that birthing centers offer women a kind of a nice in-between place where
yes,
they're really
sure.
supported to have a natural and empowering birth. And they're still, you know, somewhere that they may feel a bit safer than being at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Yes, they certainly have been a lot of conversation about that recently.
Yeah.
Can you say a little bit more about how babies' womb experiences can affect their ability to connect after their birth?
Yes. Yes, I can. I think what happens to us when we're in the womb really colors our perception of being born.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you think about a birth that actually may look to the mum and maybe other people that were there, like this child had a really good birth,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but the child's experience of it may be very different.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Yeah. So why is that? Well, it's because our experience of birth as the baby is seen through the perceptions and beliefs that we've already formed in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, while we've been in there for 9 months, we've been learning about life and relationships there. And
right.
so, for example, if whilst you were there, you learned that relationships are dangerous because your parents fight a lot and your dad is very rageful towards your mum, you may not actually want to come out.
Right, exactly.
So, well, what could that result in? Possibly it could result in a breech presentation, as in I'm heading in the opposite direction because I don't like what's happening out there.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, or it may, or that baby may just feel really ambivalent about coming out, which
yes.
it can make birth harder and maybe even longer because there's an ambivalence because we have to get born, but
right.
maybe there's a sense of I don't really want to go out into that. And you mentioned that earlier with the nicotine in the environment that
yes.
that you
yes.
didn't really want to go out into that poisonous environment.
Exactly.
Yes. And then obviously, you know, how we can connect when we arrive under those circumstances will be affected by all of these dynamics. You know.
So
then,
definitely.
Yeah. So if we've been traumatized by something or overwhelmed by something in the womb, our perceptions of birth could be that it is traumatic, even if on the outside it appears to be a really good birth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah.
And again, it takes the realization that that little one has an awareness, an ability to perceive things, to for us to understand that. But it just makes such sense that, that what happens after birth has a beginning somewhere during the earlier stages of life.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, a baby that's been traumatized or shocked in the womb really needs to, you know, they need to receive all the love that is there for them when they arrive. But paradoxically, they can find it very difficult to take in, because when you're in shock, all your energy is bound up in that place. And it's paradoxical, because the thing that we need the most is contact. And even when we're in shock, we need contact.
Yes.
But it's very difficult to connect with people when we're in shock.
Yeah.
You know? So we need help with that. So, you know, we need somebody from the outside to help us with that and help us to resolve those issues so that our nervous system can settle and we can actually let down enough for us to take in what's available for us. Because a shocked baby could be surrounded by the most loving parents and just not be able to receive it.
Yes.
You know, because they're too traumatized.
Mm-hmm. But if there is that awareness on the parents' part, then they can, you know, allow for that connection and the time and probably have that resolved.
Yes. Yes.
But really they have to be open to that.
Yeah, really just, you know, hanging out with the babies when they get here and letting them tell us all about it and supporting them, being with them, listening to them is really a great thing to do. And then, you know, I know we're all probably running out of time soon, but
we have about 10 more minutes.
Yeah, I just want to say a little bit about how prenatal dynamics can also affect our experience of being pregnant.
Sure.
And how we bring our kids in as well. Because when we're pregnant, we're actually reliving, and this is unconscious for most of us, we're actually reliving our own experience of coming into life.
Mm.
So when we're pregnant, we are remembering our body and our energy memories of remembering what it was like for us to be in the womb. And then if things happen to us at certain times when we are in the womb, like say something happened to us at 3 months, we'll often have that a similar or the same experience in a different way, but the same experience somehow get recreated at 3 months when we're pregnant, even though that what happened to us at 3 months is not happening in present time now.
Right.
So, for example, if we were born prematurely, we may actually, when pregnant, go into labor prematurely ourselves, even though there's absolutely no reason for that to happen other than the compelling nature of our own birth imprint.
Such a remarkable happening.
Yeah, and this is something that's happening all the time in pregnancy and birth, and I don't think I've really heard anybody else talking about it, and I see it over and over again. I just see it all the time with pregnant women and birthing. It's just so much a part of what's going on.
Mm. So probably working with someone such as yourself, if you can see that, then you can do things to stop that from taking place.
Yeah. I mean, I think yes, and I think that's why it can be so important to look at our own journey into life when we decide to become parents.
Yeah.
Because this is such a common thing, and likewise, when we're birthing, our own birth dynamics will be coloring our experience too. And the same could be said for post-birth experiences and bonding, you know, as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
It just makes such sense, because in life, you know, everything usually has a precursor. But to some, that isn't even, you know, even in the physical world, people don't see that oftentimes. But here, taking the idea that some of these experiences are from before in our own birth, I mean, that's a huge jump, but just it makes perfect sense.
It's a huge jump, but it also makes sense. It's funny, isn't
exactly.
it? You know what I mean? You hear it and you think, oh, yeah, of course.
Yes,
that kind of makes
of
sense.
Course.
But because you've never heard the words before, you don't really, you
exactly.
never think about it because you don't have a way of thinking about it.
Exactly.
We're actually talking about pre-verbal.
Imprint.
You know, we're talking about pre-verbal, and so unless somebody's talking about this and you're hearing the words, how are you going to think about it?
Right.
But I find that when I'm working with pregnant people, that they'll come in and they'll be, oh, I'm having a really big reaction about this, and this is going on, and I'm experiencing this, and I'll say, well, what was happening when you were at that stage in the womb? And they'll just look at you and go, oh, well, actually, such and such and such was happening, and blah, blah, and then you see it just dawning on them, and they get it, you know, and it's like, oh, wow, this is about me, this is my little one, my little
yeah.
one,
yeah.
who is kicking up her heels in there, because... Mm. She's identifying with the pregnancy and what's going on. And so when we're pregnant, we're actually holding a real baby and our own little one who's having a whale of a time, reminding us of everything that we went through too.
Mm.
You know, and wanting some
so
attention
amazing.
Often. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
quite,
amazing.
Quite a handful.
It really is. It really is. And yet it is such a wonderful world. I know I shared this before in the program that I had no idea about this whole world of the prenatal little one until I heard about, several years ago, 8-10 years ago, that the way you live your life is the way you were birthed. And I did not know what that meant at that time. But, you know, years later I had the somatic experiences of my birth and then meeting you. So I think one thing leads to another if we're just open to the possibilities. And
yeah.
there is so much change going on in the world today, and I just think it's so exciting that, you know, these awarenesses are coming to the surface so that we can share them. And I really believe that people are becoming more open to hearing about these dynamics.
I hope so, because I think we've become so reliant on interventions and
yes.
forcing things to happen. And I was in a situation in my own family recently where a baby came into the family and I was supporting the grandma to be. And
yes.
There was just so much going on around this baby, really stressful dynamics going on with the baby. And the mum was really wanting to get it out. And there was just so much happening. And then the doctors were going to induce and everything, all the pressure was building. And I just stopped in the middle of it and said to the grandma, let me ask you a question. If you were this baby, would you want to come out into this?
Wow.
And she stopped for a moment and she thought, and she said, no,
yeah.
I would not want to come out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said, well, in that case, what I think we need to be thinking about here is what needs to happen for
yeah.
the space to be created that this baby will want to come out into.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of let's
beautiful.
Go get the drugs, let's go force it out, let's
yeah.
create all kinds of other trauma by using, you know, Pitocin
yeah.
and
oh, exactly.
inducing and all those things that are just treated as normal, and they really are very damaging in many ways.
Yes, yes. What a beautiful,
you know, actually,
awareness you had to allow
yeah,
that to happen.
Because that actually then you're really thinking about it in a relational way. You're thinking
yes.
about your baby as a person. You're actually looking at what's going on and saying, wow,
yes.
I wonder how my little baby is dealing with all of this stress
mm-hmm.
going around here when we're getting ready to have a baby.
Right.
You right. know? And
you need to think about what their perception of everything
yes.
is.
And would I want to come out if that was going on? No.
Right.
So what am I going to do about it?
Yes, yes.
You know.
How can that be resolved? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm.
And that was really useful in that, you know, things did really shift and people came together and everything kind of shifted and then he came.
Oh, so beautiful.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm. And then also you actually work with children and parents if there has been a problem after the fact, and that you can really
yeah.
Support all of the family in healing
yeah.
from that too, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people just need a little support to just
yes.
process the birthing and, you know, and just talk about what happened and integrate that a bit. And,
yes.
Even if it wasn't particularly stressful, you know, just because it's a huge event.
Yes,
and
yes.
it creates such a lot of change in people's lives, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Karen, this has been an absolute delight. Let's give your website one more time, and that
okay.
is healyourearlyimprints.com.
That's right.
Your earlyimprints.com.
Yeah. And just to finish, I just wanted to say that
sure.
I do offer people a half an hour free consult on the telephone. So if anyone has any questions or wonderments about any of this, they're welcome to call me and take advantage of that.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you certainly have a wonderful way of being so, so gentle and caring with people. Just such an honor to know you, my dear, and to be able to share your work here on The Voice of Change.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Sharon.
My delight. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we will speak again for sure.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye
Take
now.
Care. Bye-bye.
That was Karen Melton. You can reach her at Heal Your Early Imprints, imprints.com. She has an amazing person and absolutely a wonder to work with. And so if you have any concerns and would like to speak to someone about birthing or experience that you have had, feel free to get in touch with her. I want to let you know also on my website, SharonAnnWykoff.com, that's SharonAnnWykoff, I have a book about listening, the art of listening to infants. It's a free download at this point. And then also on another website, Understanding Circumcision, there is a book, an e-book, Daddy, Why Are We Different?, and many resources about the process of circumcision and wonderful resources there. Next week, Amy DeYounger is going to be with me. She is with Compassionate Kids. We tried to have her program last week, but my computer that I was using at another location would not allow me to get into the site. So we are going to have her program on next week, and Amy is with Compassionate Kids. She is the chair of the board there and is going to be talking about how to raise compassionate children, children that are compassionate toward animals, people, and the earth. Then on June 10th, we will have Jeffrey John. He is a musician and has a new CD out with children's songs. He is an outdoor educator and works so well with children. He will be on June 10th. And my last program before my summer break is June 17th, and Dr. Carrie Miller will be with me at that time. And that's June 17th. Also on June 19th, I have our last program before summer break, The Voice of Change, Healing Our Planet. So tune in for that. I also have a new radio show beginning on June 5th, and this is for youth, for young people. It's called Youth Speak. And so if you know someone who is passionate about talking and sharing their ideas between the ages of 7 and 19, feel free to have them get in touch with me. It is at blogtalkradio.com/youthspeak. And I also have some summer classes. I have a teleclass for people who would like to learn about writing their own poetry to share on the radio. And those classes are at TLCClassesForKids.com. That's TLCClassesForKids.com. If you would like to hear any other programs from Karen, just go to blogtalkradio.com and type in Karen Melton. And there are several programs that we have done together, and those will all come up if you just type in her name. So thank you again for listening. It's always a joy. And stay tuned next week, or tune in next week, for Amy DeYounger and Compassionate Kids. Going to end with Jeffrey John's song, Creating a World. Thanks for listening. I've lived on this land
patriot. 45 years I've lived on the sacred land. I learned the language, learned the way, learned so far of the history too. What I wasn't told as I was growing up was all the cause for me to be here. Well, I'm not saying I need to lay any blame. I'm not saying I need to feel any guilt. Right here and now, I'd like to proclaim, we are creators.